it was mine. The Holy Spirit gave the church to burn as Reformation fire burned. In later years, the great revival came when saints would seek the Lord and pray. Oh, once again, we need that holy flame to meet the challenge of today.
Welcome those of you that have taken the time to come on the Global Power Bible Prayer Hotline to be a part of the 10-day encounter. Yesterday I was in a meeting and I had a call from the General Conference from the World Prayer Leader, Sister Janet Cage, who is out of the country. I was in a very strategic meeting, and I told her I would call her back. When I called her back, I did not get her. She called me back. I was caught up in another meeting. But I want you to know that they are grateful that we are connecting with the request that the churches around the world, every church, should be doing what we are doing on the line even now. I am so glad for the kickoff yesterday, and we were so blessed. I want you to know that other conferences have called in to listen to what is happening. There were so many people that came on yesterday that the line broke down, and there was problems. The mechanics were fixing the line because they said too many people were coming on at the same time. That's good news. I know that not everybody responds and talks, and there are times there are people that are trying to jump from line to line. I would say if you come on the line, stay on the line. You will be blessed. Skipping, hopscotching is not the answer. That also creates problems. We are asking that everyone be on mute, star six, and if you come off, if you're going to read a scripture, and if you are going to pray, then you will come off, and then you will go back. At this time, I am so happy that God used Sister Amanda, my precious sister, as he did yesterday. And I bring your attention to Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 26. Leviticus 20 and verse 26. As the Lord is speaking to us today, you will hear Amanda's voice, Holiness Unto the Lord. We are learning that song. I hope you are learning it. That is the theme song for these 10 days, and it's one of the songs that we are using throughout the year. And as we learn, I know we will be blessed. And ye shall be holy unto me. That is the Lord speaking to you, you, every one of us on this line. And what does he say? For I, the Lord, am holy and have severed you from other people that ye should be mine. We cannot look like the world, act like the world, eat like the world, work like the world, drink like the world, dress like the world, be like the world. And if we are doing that now, we need to stop. We need to stop. The Lord is seeking us. And I pray that as Jesus is saying, you are mine. Father, I'm so grateful that I belong to Jesus and that you are my Father. Empower us today and give us the victory that we need as we come to you. Use Sister Amanda again, we pray. Amen. Sister Amanda. Sister Amanda.
Hello?
Sister Amanda.
Can you hear me?
Can't hear you now, could not hear you before.
Okay.
Keep on praying, folks, because your line would drop. Just come back again. Go on mute.
Okay.
And let us be praying constantly for our speaker.
Loving Father, may you dwell among us and dwell within us so that we indeed shall be holiness unto the Lord for Christ's sake. Amen and amen. All right. Can you hear me, Claire? Anybody? Anyone? Can you hear? Can you?
Yes, we can hear you very
clearly. Okay. Thank you. All right. Good morning, saints. Good morning. This topic this morning is holiness unto the Lord. And again, I want to read a quotation from, this is from early writing, page 63. Holiness unto the Lord. We'll do a swift study in this. Picking up from yesterday, every study is connected to the next study. It links. It's like the parable. It's not completing itself. It links up. The completeness of holiness, the fullness of the Spirit. Right, that's why they have dew and rain, early rain, latter rain, is to bring the completion of the character of God within us. The pen of inspiration says, I saw the necessity of the messengers, especially watching and checking all fanaticism wherever they might see it right. And Satan is pressing in on every side. And unless we watch for him, and have our eyes open to his device and snares, and have on the whole armor of God, the fiery darts of the wicked will hit us. There are many precious truths contained in the Word of God, but it is present truth that the flock needs today. I have seen the danger of messengers running off from the important points of present truth to dwell upon subjects that are not calculated to unite the flock and sanctify the soul. Satan will here take every possible advantage to injure the cause. But such subjects as the sanctuary in connection with the 2300 days, the commandments of God, and the faith of Jesus are perfectly calculated to explain the past Advent movement and to show what our present position is, establish the faith of the doubting, and give certainty to the glorious future. These are frequently seen were the principal subject on which the messenger should dwell. Now, holiness unto the Lord. And we heard the scripture read this morning, Leviticus 6. And verse 20, Right, Leviticus. And now I'm going to ask someone else to read Revelation chapter 15 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 4. If you can swiftly open your Bible and read this for us. Thank you. Anyone?
Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgment made manifest.
Amen. We're going to look at one principle here. Glorify thy name. Holiness unto the Lord. To glorify God's name. Let's look at another scripture here. Psalms 99 and verse 9. Psalms 99. Are we connecting the dots? The Spirit of God connects the dots line upon line. Right? And so that the blossom and the flower of his holiness will be seen so that we can see our true condition and accept, exchange our righteousness for his righteousness. Psalms 99 and verse 9.
Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy.
Amen. In other words, holiness unto the Lord is to bear his name will bring about true worship to God, where prayer is the center of it all. Right? We begin to see that for the scripture, right? The Leviticus, Revelation 15 and verse 4, Psalms 99 and verse 9. Holiness unto the Lord. In other words, the holiness is to bear his name. And in bearing his name, true worship is experienced and communion is the center of it all. Holiness unto the Lord. So now we're going to see if we are bearing the name of Jesus. Let's look at Revelation 22 and verse 4 and Revelation chapter 7 and verse 3. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4 and Revelation chapter 7 and verse 3. If someone can kindly and swiftly read this for us. And verse 4.
See, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads.
All right. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 3. Thank you very much.
Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
Amen. So holiness, a principle of holiness unto the Lord is having the name of God in the forehead. We get that? The name of God in the forehead. Now let's look at the forehead. Like you have four lobes in the head. Right? The frontal lobe is that the forehead that God is talking about. Now, the law of the forehead, let's look at this. The law of the forehead is reasoning, intellect, judgment, and will. If I were you, I would take notes on this. I'm going over again. Reasoning, intellect, judgment, and will. That's the law of the frontal lobe. Now, physiological aspect of the growth of the frontal lobe, the full growth takes place at the age of 30. Now, the sanctuary method always gives interpretation. You have scientists that will tell you sometimes, some of the scientists tell you at 25, but others will tell you at 30. Let's turn to the sanctuary for God to give. Remember, he is the author. He is the instructor and he is the interpreter. Let's look at Numbers chapter 4, verses 23 and verse 30. Numbers chapter 4, we would see why and how the word of God and what he's saying to us. Numbers chapter 4, verses 23 and 30. Two verses.
Numbers 4, 23 and 30.
From 50 years old and onward, until 50 years old shall thou number them, all that enter into the farm, and enter into the farm service, to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. And verse 30, from 50 years old and upward, even unto the 50 years old shall thou number them, everyone that entered into the service to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation.
All right, take note with that. Was it clear as the sister read it? I didn't hear clearly, but take note, verse 23 and verse 30. In other words, the scripture is saying to us, the Levites at the age of 30 were fit to do service in the sanctuary. At the age of 30, was fit to do work in the sanctuary. I'll give you another scripture. We're not going to read it, but I'm going to give you another scripture here. Joseph, in Genesis 41 and 46, it was the age of 30 that Joseph was placed on Pharaoh's throne. Right? At the age of 30, Joseph was placed on Pharaoh's throne. So holiness unto the Lord, we begin to see, is a little deeper than just reciting the scripture. It's a whole creative aspect of the frontal lobe. Now, in Jesus himself, in Luke chapter 3 and 23, can someone read the scriptures with the clarity and the power here as we see Jesus embarking on his mission to present holiness unto us as a people? Luke chapter 3 and verse 23.
Luke chapter 3 and verse 23 said, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli.
Can you read that over? Read that over with the power as if you're in the presence of Almighty God. Read that thing over, please.
Jesus himself began to be about 50 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli.
All right. So Jesus himself embarked on his mission at the age of 30. In other words, the frontal lobe, the physiological aspect of the frontal lobe is developed, fully developed at the age of 30. In other words, Satan, you should not be marrying your pray for your children before the age of 30. Because proper decisions are not made. Right? Proper decisions are not made. You're not fit to do certain things. So from a physiological aspect and a spiritual component, we can begin to see that when holiness unto the Lord means that Christ is writing his name on the frontal lobe. In other words, my reasoning aspect will be in alignment with the word of God. When I apply the word of God to my heart, you become intelligent in obtaining that gift of the intelligence to the of the Word of God, you begin, or I begin, to have better clarity and judgment as the will of God is being fulfilled. That's the law of the frontal lobe. Now remember, you can condense it. You would hear Ellen G. White saying in some of her writings, spirituality, judgment, and will. But I for some reason, God helped me to broaden this thing so I can see my sins faster. The broader the principle is, the faster I see my shortcomings. Or I see my sinful nature, where true confession can be made and repentance experienced. Now, here it is. The frontal lobe here you have is fully developed. You notice Joseph and Jesus following. Yesterday I told you that the scripture tells us that there is the letter of the law, right? Matthew chapter 5, 17 to 19. Then you have the spirit of the law, Romans 7:14. We're not going to read it. Then you have the law as love, Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44. And then you have the law as God's character, Romans chapter 13 and verse 10, 1 John chapter 7 and verse 8. So you notice holiness unto the law. We're looking at foundation. Without the foundation, you and I cannot be prepared for God to manifest holiness. It's a myth. Right? It's a myth. You and I have to become partakers of God's divine nature so he can manifest the holiness unto God. Now we would begin to see why our reasoning skills should be different. Listen carefully. I was saying this. A lot of times we come and we stand up before God's people, our congregation, and we say things like, oh, well, I'm here, I'm a nurse, or I'm a medical missionary, and I have 20 and 30 years of experience. What does that mean? In repentance, you begin to understand if your frontal lobe was beating, if oil was in the lamp, that type of rhetoric would not come out of your mouth. Because you do not need credentials as a repentant sinner. Credentials means nothing to the repentant sinner. Why? Because holiness unto the Lord. Let's look at this scripture that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. Listen to how Paul articulated himself. Right? He says, I'm going to read it. He said, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. That's what his credential in 1 Kings chapter 13, right? The man of God, for credentials. But he had a type. God gave him his title, a man of God. But listen, if you go back into Kings chapter 13 and you study, you would see that you can start this mission and end up losing your life. Right? You can start. The man of God started the mission. He went to Ahab, did all he had, and then he lost. He was killed. Right? So you, in our reasoning skills, we begin to reason differently. In other words, no individual can make you mad or make you glad. It is a literal choice according to the word of God. In step to Christ, the pen of inspiration says we either excuse our sins or we justify our sin. When that is taking place, it's evident that there is no oil in the lamp, in the heart. You may have a lot in the mind, but there is no oil in the heart. Anytime, and every time you make an excuse or you justify yourself for your evil behavior, it's because it is a lack of oil in your lamp. Why? Because Jesus died to justify us. I want to pause here and ask for two prayers, because this is serious. Two prayers.
Father in heaven, as I am sitting here and I am amazed at what you're telling me, Lord, I'm just asking you to remove every self that is in me and take full control so that I can be holy unto you. Father, not in my will, but yours. I pray that you'll help me not to justify my wrongdoing, because you died to justify me. Help me to hold on, Lord, to that. And take all of me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Love and I eternal God.
Remove them from me, I pray. Amen.
Someone else is going to pray. Come on, come in. This is no joke, Saint. This is not a performance.
Saint Sister Margaret, come on in. I'm experiencing difficulties on the phone, and we're not having the communication. Sister Harris is the only one I hear reading, and her reading and pronunciation is not that clear. Please, I ask you, if you're on the line, wake up. Loving Lord, I realize how unfit I am as your daughter, and I seek dependence on you like I've never thought before, because I am seeing my nothingness as you speak to me through Sister Amanda.
Anyone else?
Father, I have seen my unworthiness. You have made me pure and holy. And I can see my thoughts, my words, my action, my deeds, my motives is contrary to your word. Father, cleanse me out and make in me a clean heart and a new spirit that I can go out to serve you as I ought to in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
My Lord and my Savior, I have a desire.
Thank you.
But just a worthy representative.
That I am nothing.
Amen. Now listen, in the frontal lobe, there's a premotor cortex and there's a primary cortex in the brain. Now this is literal, this is scientific, and it is also spiritual. You would read in Times, we don't have the time for it, but as you research and you read, Ellen G. White talks about the eye in the mind. Right? That's the third eye. Don't get afraid when the devil talk about the third eye. He is limited and he cannot create. He counterfeits every aspect of our Father. Now that third eye, it becomes brightened because of your reasoning skills. You begin to reason according to the word of God. As you apply the scripture to the heart, the Spirit of God retains it, and it's retained. Judgment is being, you begin to articulate different, you begin to ask questions to help to assess others for seeing the true condition so Christ can heal as the will of God is being fulfilled. Now, in the primary motor cortex, the hands, in neurology you would see the hands are in the head. It is important that we should do things. That's why every Jew had a trade. No matter what his profession was, he had a trade. And as sojourners in this Advent movement, we are told that gardening and cultivating and cooking and sewing and those things are necessary for the repairing of the frontal lobe that God wants to establish and place his name upon. Without that, it's not going to happen. Many of you have raised your children to be intellectual, and without the application of the education, Ellen G. White calls you a dwarf. Right? You have a lot of knowledge. You have medical doctors that can't do that. The handicap. And many Seventh-day Adventists have failed. the younger ones, but you raise your kids, you have failed in that department. You push your kids to study, you push them to have their degree, but you never allow them to do the chores and the things that is necessary for God to repair their frontal lobe. Now, once you get the law from the prophetic studies, once you get the law of the frontal lobe, and there in the scripture when he created Adam, he said he made him from dust, he blew into his nostril, and Adam became a living soul. In other words, God made the human body a 3D compartment. There is a physical, there is a mental, and there is a spiritual component in man. That's the sanctuary within man. Now, the medical missionaries, constantly you would hear some of them telling you, as they're preaching to teach, God bless them, but they're telling you about weight loss. And in other words, when you look at the sanctuary, you have the court, the holy and the most holy. Constantly they're telling you to repair the court. Well, the sanctuary teaches different. The court was always dirty. That's where the filling and the blood and the sacrifice was made. In the sanctuary, we tell you, meet Jesus in the most holy. In other words, in the mind and the heart, and then he begins to clean you up. Remember that scripture yesterday? I told the lady said it was a little troubling for her. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7. Right? Or if you look at the covering of the sanctuary, you would see the ugly skin, the ragged skin was outside, while the Shekinah glory was inside. We've been working backwards. He cannot manifest holiness through you if the law and duty is not understood. In other words, holiness unto the Lord means that God is sanctifying a people for his son's name to be glorified. And sanctification cannot take place without the law of God, right? We tend to recite the law, but in every aspect of our being, what the scripture says in Psalms 19, and a line went forth, every aspect upon the earth and in heaven is governed by the law of God. He is the creator of the universe. He hangs the stars, the moon, he placed them in place. In other words, time and season according to the law of God. Now, in the frontal cortex, when the scripture says, use that which is within thy hand. Right? That's why the scripture tells us it sits right up the head, the hands and the feet. It's right in the brain. Now, when you look at the human body, if you look at the head, you have four lobes in the head, right? The four lobes, front and the two at the side and one at the back. Sorry, one at the side, one in front, the middle and the back. The four lobes get into that. But if you look a little deeper here, I'm looking at the time too, you have, it's simple. The sanctuary makes it simple. Simple. You don't need a professor to teach you this. You sit down with Jesus daily and you meditate and study and meditate, and he writes Bible studies in the mind. He fits them up. And then you pray for the experience as he washes the heart, making it clean and pliable to manifest in and through you. Now, here it is that the brain, the frontal lobe, reasoning, don't forget this, intellect, judgment, and will. Reasoning, intellect, judgment, and will. The letter of the law, the spirit of the law, the law of love and service, and the law of character. They go in harmony with each other. Right? In harmony with each other. Now, this is where you begin to see your own defects and deficiencies. I'll give you an example. My sister, I have two sisters, Pat, Polly. They're not easy women to deal with. Nevertheless, I said to Polly the other day, I said, every time, you know how we say this? You make me mad. Nobody could make you mad. You begin to study the word, you see madness is within you. You have mental defects and deficiencies within you. Because the brain, the frontal lobe is not being repaired. Now, I said to her, it becomes so easy, Polly, I was telling her, when she says things to me and I get upset, I said, Polly, God has given me a remedy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And I come here this morning to share the medication with you. Every time Polly gets me upset, right away, all I need to do is look up. And I begin to, the Spirit instructs me to give God thanks for the tangible experience I had with my sister. Polly is very self-sacrificing. She's very thoughtful. And I have tangible experience with my sister in her generosity and her patience with me. I call her at one time the Nazi professor, and at one time I call her the Nazi professor. But very, and the minute I begin to thank God for Polly, that anger subsides. Saints, begin to try this in your home, with your husband, with your children. The minute I begin to thank God for Polly, that anger is gone. Can't get in. For the Spirit of God says, and when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Holiness unto the Lord. God wants to clean us up so he can penetrate himself in and through us. Now, again, this frontal lobe here, we begin to reason. In the scriptures, you would see Martha. We know the story with Lazarus. Martha was reasoning according to the word and built up inside with emotion. And Jesus said to Martha, Martha. He reproved Martha in a very gentle way. But then you notice Daniel reasoning according to the word of God. When we begin to reason according to the word of God, then the Spirit of God lights up for you to apply it to your heart. When you apply it to the heart, the Spirit of God retains oil inside. So when you speak, righteousness doesn't only accompany righteousness, it's mingled in your thoughts, your words, and your prayer. And you can be in America and pray for someone in Africa, and healing will take place. Holiness unto the Lord. Now I'm gonna, two topics. If you are not praying, holiness unto the Lord can take place. Right? If you're not praying, and if you're not praying according to the understanding of the law and the testimony. Dress reform. If you're not dressing, holiness unto the Lord can't take place. Because you're not dressed inside with the righteousness and outside with the righteousness of Christ. Pray for your pastor's wife and pray for all these big fancy names out there. Their wives are hindrance to the work, and they themselves cannot govern their household. So how can they govern a church that is marching to Zion? You need holiness unto the Lord. I said to my Polly the other day, her husband is sick with cancer. Keep them in prayer. I said, Polly, you went all around the place. Now God wants you to see what medical missionary is all about. Tend to your household. Tend to your household. That's true medical missionary. That's what the scripture says, tarry in Jerusalem. Many want to go and work, and many have been working outside without the holiness of God inside. The pen of inspiration says, you are as a dry sepulchre. You're dead inside. While commissioned to do the work. It's the people without the Spirit of God tend to be very busy. The devil is very busy.
without the oil of grace, you have to sit with Jesus in meditation and studying of the Word of God, applying it into your heart. So when, like Philip, he's ready for you, he picks you up and he ministers to you. In all aspects, he teaches, he prays, he does sleeping and hugging and kissing, and every aspect is manifested through you. And so this morning, for us to become clean vessels, what is Jesus doing? He's cleansing the sanctuary up, so you and I must be cleansing the sanctuary so he can dwell within us. He said, and I will be among you, and I shall dwell within you. That's what we need. Not just asking God for forgiveness, but asking God for repentance. Without repentance and the understanding of repentance, holiness unto the Lord is a thought, not an experience. So you need to check yourself in your reasoning. Some of them are going to share a testimony about how God has allowed this to retain in my heart. It's literally a Bible study from my experience. Now, in the frontal lobe here with the hands, using the hands, do that which, that's what prayer is about. When you pray, you go forth in action. Now, I'll give you an example here. Sister Pat, when I heard her around like a week or two ago on the prayer line, she said she had asked God for 5,000 prayer warriors. Right? 5,000 intercessors. Now, that, can I doubt that? No, I can't. He placed it in her mind. But if she does not go back to the scriptures, if she does not make the preparation, what 5,000 unto the Lord is, she will remain frustrated. It's in fact, when God placed the thought in your mind, he wants something to do in the heart. So what is it that you need? Deep Bible studies. Go back and see what 5,000 means in the Bible. You don't have to think too far. She has to have an Andrew with fish and bread. Someone tangible fit to give fish and bread. Right? She has to teach the doctrines of God. These are the things. Anytime he prays holiness unto the Lord, he prays it in our mind, but he wants us to come back to the author of the thought so that he can instruct us through the law, so that he can bring about the interpretation in tangible experience. Isaiah 8 and verse 20. We will speak according to the law and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So since my encouragement is Bible study and prayer in action, holiness unto the Lord. Let me say this as I close. When you begin to experience divine repentance in your heart, according to the law, the mandate, and the righteousness in heaven, you will not continue to record how much you are doing. You're not going to count it. Because in your doing, it's not you anymore. Like Paul, the little Amandas begin to become weak. And you begin to enjoy something, a different taste and flavor begins to manifest through you. Anytime you're counting how much you study, how much you pray, how much you work, more evidently in your heart, it is lacking the oil of grace. Bow before God and ask him for a new experience, a new thing in your life, so that you will not count that which he has given to you. Loving Father, I present the minds of your children. And we want to thank you that the scripture tells us we must come to obtain the mind of Christ. We pray that the law of the mind, the frontal lobe, the intellect and the judgment will come to be established. Hang it up, Lord. So that the dressing, the eating, the prayer, the studies, we will come to see our sinful nature. Where repentance can be the gift. And we will go forth continually with the mighty God leading us, this army, this movement, to become and remain established upon this earth in preparation for eternity. Breathe your breath upon us. And may these days of praying and fasting become a lifestyle in the life of your children. So that from on a daily basis, the continual mercies, the continual law, the continual righteousness will bring forth fruit that will endure even unto eternity. You said, bring them to me. I bring your people to you. Do that which will glorify your name as we fulfill and make the preparation. For Christ's sake, I pray these blessings of mercy with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
Loving Lord, your daughter has spoken. And we want to give you thanks. We want to give you praise. And may we not hold on to what we believe, but avail ourselves so that holiness can be a part of our living. Not only for these 10 days, Lord, but that it will help us to stay firm, not looking back. Continue to do your will as you see the day fast approaching. Help me, Lord, that I will retain as much as I have, and then I will be able to share it with others to be a source of encouragement to them. Continue to be with your daughter, Sister Amanda, as she goes through this day. Thank you for using her the way you do, and may each and every one of us continue to press towards the mark of the price of that high calling, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, I pray. Amen.
Father, you did not give us this messenger for naught. It's because of your agape love and the state that you see him in that you have brought your daughter forward. Father, we surrender our heart or mind again, our soul, our spirit, and our body back to you. That every thought, every word, every action, every deed, every motive, every conversation, through the word of God, through the surrendering, through the crucified Lamb and the Holy Spirit, and through the messengers as we surrender, that we will be filled with, that we can go forth and go out and to shine a light through his word and our prayer for him. Father, thank you for Sister Amanda. Thank you for the powerful message that she has brought us. And thank you for the love of a God for his children. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
Father in heaven, I want to thank you, dear God, for this wonderful, wonderful privilege today to listen to the woman that you have chosen to bring the message for us. And indeed, it's a testimony from her, even to me. Everything that she said is from your word and its truth. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the holiness that you have, that as we continue to bathe in your righteousness, O God, forgive us our sins and cleanse us, O God. Create within us new and clean hearts, so that when you speak to us, we will understand your word. I thank you this morning because it's not just a little thing that was said. It's about life. And I know that I need to change up so much, dear God. So I ask in you this morning to help me. Continue to be with me. Continue to be with the prayer line. Continue to all those who come on today. And everything that we heard, as we will put it into practice and join together to strengthen this line, oh God. I thank you, dear Lord, for the prayers of our leader.
and the help that is needed. Help us to bind together with cords of love that cannot be broken, so that we could continue to praise you in no other name but in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sister Amanda, I want to ask you a question before I pray. You talk about reason, judgment, and the will, and then and the letter of the law. It was three stages, but I didn't get you.
The letter of the law, Matthew chapter 5, 17 to 19. The spirit of the law, Matthew chapter 5, 22 to 28. The law as love, Matthew chapter 5, 43 and 44. The law as God's character, 1 John chapter 7 and verse 8. Romans chapter 13 and verse 10. These four runs in harmony with the frontal lobe. In other words, you can preach the gospel of salvation through the frontal lobe. You can preach the gospel of Christ through the letter, the spirit, the love, and character. You could preach the gospel through mountains, through rivers, through colors. And the sanctuary helps to broaden our aspect of thinking and appreciate that which God is doing in the life of his children.
Because I missed, I got Matthew 5, 22 to 28, and after that I didn't hear.
Oh, Matthew chapter 5, 43 and 44, the law of love, and then the law of God's character, 1 John chapter 7 and verse 8.
All right, I'm going to pray now. Precious Lord, every day, every moment of our lives, you have given us witness that we can be overcomers. You have used Sister Amanda to touch every chord, every core of our being this morning, to wake up even the dead, not the sleeping. So we have no excuse. I thank you for the way you have used her this morning to present to you, to us individually, where we are and where we ought to be and how we can be. Lord, I ask you baby self this morning, because self is a hindrance for spiritual growth. And we say, God understands, we justify what we do, but there's no excuse. Help me this morning, first of all, to acknowledge my sins and repent so that you can use me as an instrument to be better for myself and others. It's my prayer this morning. Amen.
I continue to pray, Father, this morning. You have used Sister Amanda for your glory. She's nothing without you, and I just pray, Lord, that as she continues, be faithful to you, that you will continue to use her. I ask that you will bless her throughout the day. And for those of us on the line, Lord, may we look within. May I look within. Father, I am asking you this morning to clean me up. I realize, Lord, that I am nothing without you and can do nothing. So, Father, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Have mercy upon me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
As the time is going, I just want to truly thank God for my sister. She made mention that she heard me say on the line the other day, I am asking God for 5,800. The membership of Northeastern is 58,000 members. And I am asking him for a percentage of that. And I love how she says, I'm not just looking for folks to put on a sash to showcase. Anybody can do that. I am indeed looking for Andrews that are workers going out without being pressured to go and to do and to bring folks to Jesus Christ, to study the will and the way of God, looking for Paul, that are studiers, writers, thinkers, and that will spend time with God. Prayer in action, not talking prayer, but living prayer, not recording what we have done. I want to give you an invitation today. You're on the line. My sister will be leading out at the School of Prayer at the Northeastern Conference on the 18th of February, our second School of Prayer. I was trying to get her on the 21st, which will be not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. But on the 18th, we are making plans that she will be there, and she will be the instructor that particular day. As again, she loves the sanctuary, and God has just equipped her in such a way. I say to you this morning, as you listen, through the cross, Christ was glorified. After his death, he ascended to his Father in heaven and received the divine approval of a job well done. The plan of redemption was crowned by his death on Calvary and resurrection from the grave. Room was created for the full operation of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 13:31-32 to his disciples prior to his death, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified." If God is not glorified in our thinking, in our action, in our eating, our dressing, our witnessing, he is not glorified. God will also glorify you. And in the words of Jesus, when he said, during that same evening as he was talking to his Father, Jesus prayed in John 17:1, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee." When there is a transformation, we will see the glory of God. In John 16:7-8, Jesus also declared, and he's speaking to us on the line of this morning, as he says, "Holiness unto the Lord is a necessity, it is a must. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth," and he does not lie. You see how truthful my sister is. When she gets on Polly's case and my case, you know where it leads us? To the Lord. And I give God thanks for the honesty of this girl and the way she lets the Lord lead her and guide her. It is to your advantage, Jesus was literally saying to his disciples, that I go away. And these 10 days is for your advantage and mine, that the necessary change will come. Holy Spirit, you did come in your fullness after our elder brother ascended to our Father. As our counselor, as our advocate and comforter, I give you thanks for what you have promised. And the promise is, we want to meet with you throughout the day. We want to come back this evening again at the 7 o'clock hour. And as you will lead and guide in the morning. Not only will my sister be coming at 7 a.m., but I have asked her to come on from 7 p.m. until about 9 p.m. tomorrow evening. That's your holy talent. And I told her it may go into 10 o'clock. May we bathe ourselves in your word. And as we now meditate, as we hear again, come, Holy Spirit, may we seek your holiness, and may we be holy. Give each one on this line a day with you, O Holy Redeemer, as we are fasting from the television, if there are those who have not begun, if there are those that are not fasting from the flesh pots and the dairy, loving Lord, give us strength to do so. And in the meantime, we will be in your word. May parents keep their children from the cartoon. And may we get into the studying of your word. We pray as you come. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, just pause and meditate. As you listen to the words of this song, come, Holy Spirit. After which, we're going to be hearing from you.
The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. He came in mighty fullness there. His goodness to believers was the Lord, and multitudes were born again.
Nothing, Lord, I
hear. The early Christians scattered all the world. They preached their gospel fearlessly. So some were martyred and to fly into room. They marched along in victory. Come, Holy Spirit. You're filling your love and your mighty power. Move along. Sin in ancient darkness breathes the earth. The just shall live by faith was heard. The Holy Spirit gave the church to birth as Reformation fires burn.
Reformation!
In later years, the great revival came. When saints would seek the Lord and pray. Oh, once again we need that holy place to meet the challenge of today. Come, Holy Spirit, join us. We need your filling, your love, and your mighty power. Revive the church today. Revive the church today. Revive the church.